probably my age now. So I was deep in this conversation with Susie. I think it was at the South Sider, because that was our regular at that time. And she knew I was a Christian, so she was a bit puzzled by this whole worship thing. And she said to me, I remember staring up into my eyes and getting all serious and saying, John, why does God want us to worship him? Is that not a bit egotistical? So that's the question I want you to discuss now. So off you go. Find, go and sit beside someone you don't know. Do it now. Go. And if you're new, just stay where you are. Just stay where you are. And the question is, why does God want us to worship him? Why does God want us to worship him? Go.
Good. Well, keep it for later. I just want you to discuss it amongst yourselves.
Hello. Okay, have you exhausted it? Yeah. Have you solved the... One or two of you are still chatting away. Shall I tell you what I told Susie? There's nothing too profound, actually. It's really quite... Well, it is sort of profound in a strange sort of way. And it was one of these answers that just sort of came to me. Like, it's not because I was particularly brilliant answering questions. But I answered her question with a question. I simply said, Susie, why do you want Jack to love you? Why do you want Jack to love you? And if you begin to understand our relationship with God in those terms, you begin to understand why God wants us to love him and to express it in praise. I'm going to light the candle now. For those who are new, this is not anything to do with Halloween, okay? But it's a sign that you need to switch your mobile phones off. Or at least put them on silent. It's a sign that from now on, this is God's time. Okay? Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you that we can call you a loving Father, because that's who you are. You created us you see your image in us, your likeness, and you absolutely adore everything we do or try to do, even when we mess up. And there's nothing that can get between us and your love. And all you want is for us to realize how much you love us and to feel something of our love in return. So we offer you tonight and we offer you this time of praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I sent out an email earlier on asking for some ideas about songs that have influenced people's lives, because tonight's all about worship. And I've got a couple of replies. A couple of brave souls are going to be sharing with us later on in the evening. But before we even go that far, and I've got a wee story to share with you as well, and we've got to hear from Steph, so it's going to be a busy night. Let's stand and let's offer God our worship. Have a seat.
I've got something else to tell you now. It's another. I call it the Shona story. If you heard me talk at Celebrate Recovery, then you'll have heard the Shona story as well. If you haven't heard me talk at Celebrate, you won't know what I'm talking about. It was something that happened to me when I was 18 years old. And it had a profound impact on my life when it comes to worship. And I'm just going to read to you. Well, actually, I'll read it to you now. Just these words from this psalm. It's a well-known psalm. It's Psalm 121. And it goes like this. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help doesn't come from the hills, by the way. They're just hills. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shadow at your right hand. So the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He'll watch over your life. He'll watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. When I was 18, I was wandering around India, and I got all my money stolen, which tends to happen to people who are wandering around India and not paying attention to where their money is. I was with a bunch of folks. We'd traveled overland from Europe to Nepal, actually. And you could do that in those days. You know, you could actually travel through Turkey and through Iran and through Afghanistan and down through the Khyber Pass. I'm glad it was only when I got to just the border of Nepal that my money got stolen. Otherwise, I don't think I'd have got that far. But anyway, the people I was with lent me enough money to tide me over until a bank transfer from my mum and dad could get through to me. So it was about, I don't know, I was about 3 weeks living off this meager sum that I'd been lent. And so I didn't have all that much money to explore Nepal. I couldn't go trekking and doing all the things you wanted to do. But everybody said, you should really go to this place called Pokhara. It's a lake, and it's near the Annapurna mountain range. And the view of the mountains is amazing. So I thought, okay, I've come all the way to Nepal. I might as well see these mountains. So I sort of shelled out enough for a bus fare to get me to this place. And when I got there, I could only really afford a room. It wasn't really a hotel. It was just a room which was just the attic of this farmer and his wife and his kids. They sort of gave me the keys to the attic. And there was an outside ladder to get up to this attic. And you got absolutely bitten to death by mosquitoes. Ah. So I didn't sleep much. And I was there about 5 days. Of course, I didn't sleep much during the night, because that's when the mosquitoes came out. So I did most of my sleeping during the day. And, of course, that meant I missed these mountains. Because the only time you could see the mountains, because it was nearing the rainy season, was if you got up really, really early in the morning, before the air heated up from the sunlight so much that the clouds came down. And so I had to get up really before dawn and get out there, and then I'd get a view of the mountains. But, of course, I'd bitten by mosquitoes all night. I always slept in. And eventually, the last night, my money was about to run out, and I knew that the next day I was going to have to go back. And so I stayed awake all night. Well, the mosquitoes kept me awake all night, let's be honest. And I determined not to fall asleep. And just before dawn, I climbed down this ladder, and there's a wee tea shop, a chai shop, down by the roadside, which was just beside the lake. And I got quite friendly with the owner there. So I stumbled down there and ordered myself a cup of tea. And I waited for the dawn. And gradually it got lighter and lighter. And I thought, oh good, I'm going to see these mountains. Everybody said these mountains are amazing. I'm going to see them at last. And then the sun came up. And I looked up. And all I could see was clouds. And as you can imagine, I was a bit disappointed. I thought, so much for all this business about getting up early in the morning. I've been completely wasting my time and my money. I've come all this way. You know, have you ever had a good moan? I'm sure you never moan. And then, to make things worse, the owner of the chai shop comes up to me
And says, so what do you think of the mountains? And I go, you're joking. I mean, it's just clouds. Now, the important thing for you to realize is these mountains were 40 miles away. And he said to me, now 40 miles is about the distance between here and Glasgow, just to put that in perspective. I mean, it's quite a distance. He said to me, have you tried looking above the clouds? And I can still, and it still gives me shivers up my spine. I remember doing this. Wow. They were up there. The clouds were there. The mountains, 40 miles away, were up there. It was absolutely, I can still see them. They're crystal clear, blue sky, huge, massive mountains, no right to exist type mountains. They're astonishing. And of course you can just see, the image has stayed with me, but it helps me understand what worship is. Because worship is about looking up above the clouds. You know, we've all got clouds in our lives. Things that really are, they drag us down, you know, worries, health issues, all sorts of things. Things that aren't going well. And we tend to, if the danger is we dwell on them, that we just get dragged down by them. Worship helps us look above the clouds because it helps us focus on the God who made, you know, those massive mountains and just what an amazing God he is. So there's three people choosing songs tonight, and I'm one of them, okay? And this is a song that I want to sing that, to me, it reflects that sort of moment when I looked above the clouds.
Humbled by your majesty, covered by your grace so free, here I am, knowing I'm a sinful man, covered by the blood of the Lamb, and now I've found the greatest love of all is mine. Since you laid down your life, the greatest sacrifice.
Let's hear you sing.
Majesty, majesty, your grace has found me just as I am. Empty-handed, but alive in your hand. Here I am, humbled by the love you give, forgiven so that I can forgive. Here I stand, knowing that I'm your desire, sanctified by glory and fire, and now I found the greatest love of all is mine. You laid down your life, the greatest sacrifice. We're singing majesty, majesty. Your grace has found me just as I am. Empty-handed, but alive in your hand. Majesty, Majesty, forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty.
Let's sing that again.
Majesty, Majesty, your grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hand. Majesty, Majesty, forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty.
Have a seat. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful majesty of your presence that is all around us if we would just open our eyes and look above the clouds. And we thank you for the privilege of worship and how that lifts us above the clouds into your presence. And so be with us now and speak to our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite Connell. Connell, come and tell us about why you've chosen this song.
Hey guys, I'm Connell. The song I've chosen is Oceans by Hillsong Worship. So I became a Christian last year at Young Life Camp. And around the time, there was a really big song called Oceans. And it wasn't until a Christian concert I went to called PowerPoint that I heard it for the first time. And the words just really spoke to me. I was on this spiritual high that didn't seem like it was ever going to come down. So I was listening to it, and the words just, they spoke to me on a way that no other songs really spoke to me before. Words like, hold on, let me remember them. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed and you won't start now. Those words, like, I became a Christian when, like, a lot of things were big in my life, like girls partying, you know, drinking and stuff. And so temptations have always been around me, but reading these words and singing them and, you know, worshiping God with them, it makes me realize that, you know, the devil isn't going to get me. God is just so great. And yeah, that's kind of why the song is so important to me and my faith.
So let's sing that song. What do you think? You want to stand again? It's up to you. Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
Thank you. my tongue. Let me walk upon the water wherever you would call me. That my feet would ever walk up in my faith in the presence of.
Lord, we thank you for what Connell has just shared. We thank you for the power behind these words and how they speak to us. We've been up big mountains, now we're going deep. They speak to us of the everlasting faithfulness of our God. So that there's nothing we should fear, because you're always with us. And whenever we start to sink or lose faith, you're there to hold out your hand and pull us back up. So we thank you. And thank you for Connell himself, and bless him. Bless him mightily in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Kieran, tell us about your song.
Tell us about you and your song.
I should have said that before I sat down. Yeah, I know. Yeah. So I'm Kieran. I became a Christian a couple years ago at my very first PowerPoint as well. And Oceans was the song that played with that. But my song is Broken Vessels by Hillsong Worship. The reason that it's so important to me is because it really makes me think of a person which has been so important to me during this journey with God, and that's Rachel Moody. She's such an inspiration to me, the way that she's so encouraging with people in their journeys. She's always there. She's a really nice person. At the last PowerPoint that I went to, which was a couple months ago, I'm very up and down. I'm not really sure where I am in my journey, but I'm trying my best. And Rachel's always been there for me when I'm doing that. And when I went up, when we were requested, I went up to try and reclaim my faith. I also went up to be supportive for two other people who went up, and I had no intentions of crying, but then. Rachel came up and she prayed for the three of us individually, and when it came to me, I just burst out in a flood of tears. I was just sobbing and babbling on her shoulder. And just the words that she said, they really made me feel like I was so close to God at that moment. And so whenever I hear this song, it always makes me think of her, because I always hear it when she's singing it. She always sings it, and I love her voice. I love, because music's what touches me. And the lyrics in this song that... No, I've got the lyrics here, so I'm prepared. The lyrics that really touched me from this song are, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Because that's really just describes me perfectly. I was lost, then I had all my friends from coming to church and that, and Rachel especially, and she really helped me find God, and I was saved by him. I was blind, and now I've seen him. So that's why this song is my song.
So if you understand, we'll see how we get on with this one.
Together and did and did.
Loving Father, as we said thank you for Connell, now we say thank you for Kieran, and we thank you for Rachel Moody, and we thank you for the power of these words, words written by John Newton, and that have been passed down over the generations in lots of different forms, and now re-emerged in this new form for us all to re-enjoy together. But most of all, we thank you that they're true, that we once were lost, but now we're found. We once were blind, but now we see. May that be true for us all. In Jesus' name, amen. We promised you that we'd hear from Steph McLeod tonight. So, by the way, welcome, folks. Welcome back. Hope you had a good time. So now we're going to listen to him. There's a common theme tonight from all the speakers. And it's that theme of the fact that however much a mess we make of our lives, which we all do, our God is the God of second chances, and third chances, actually, and fourth. Here's a song that's been around for a long, long time. Again, it's one of those sort of standy-uppy type songs. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful, and our song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
How wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Where's David Hill? David, come and pray. Have a seat. Just that, you know, there's probably someone here tonight who's heard something.
Then let's pray. In fact, this is what I want to pray. I just want to ask that God, through his Holy Spirit, will draw near to us right now, and that he'll come and speak and minister to us. So, Lord, we do, just having been singing these songs and the things that have been happening, we want to stand in your presence right now by faith, or sit in your presence right now by faith, and we want to ask that you would come by your Holy Spirit and minister to us and speak to us. So come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and whisper words to us, whisper truth to us. Come and touch our hearts and give us responsive hearts to you. Come and heal our bodies. Come and make this a moment when heaven truly touches earth in this place and in our lives. So, Lord, we wait for you. We wait for your touch. We pause right now in your presence. And let him speak to you. It may be that you are just even now beginning to be aware of something going on. Perhaps even some kind of manifestation of the Spirit's presence in your life, in your body. There's a phrase even that has just entered into your head. And embrace that, respond to that in faith. Lord, we ask that you do more. You wouldn't give us just quiet little whisperings, as it were, but you'd give us powerful encounters with you. And Lord, we lift our hearts, our minds, beyond just now what we see with our eyes, and we just engage with you in heaven, as it were. We hear you, Lord Jesus, speaking to us. We see you. We sang that song earlier about seeing the love in your eyes, and Lord, we see the love in your eyes even right now, and we want to say thank you that you have an incredible love for us. You are totally trustworthy. And we respond to you. We open our hearts to you just now. Be amongst us, Lord. And transform our lives. We don't want to play games. We want to truly follow you, Lord Jesus. And thank you that you are inviting us right now to follow you. And we say yes. So have your way in our lives, Lord, and bless our lives right now and each day of this coming week, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We got one more song to sing, and then you can sort of carry on talking or relaxing, or I don't know, it's up to you. But if God's been speaking to anyone tonight and you want to talk to someone about it, then please seek me out afterwards, or seek out David, or seek out Susan or Lindsay, just so that you don't leave it, so that it drifts away and disappears. Let's stand. Kaffee's open.